It's the D-O-double-G, the road dog, Jesse James, and by my side, as always, is that B-A-double-D-A, double crooked letter, badass Billy Gunn. Together we are the New Age Outlaws, and you're listening to the VOC Nation, and if you ain't down with that, he's got two words for you. Suck it.
VOC Nation provides live daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with the host and guests by phone call, email, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include the legendary Ken Resnick, who you probably remember from the AWA and WWE, former WCW performer The Maestro, Wes Briscoe, who you probably remember from Impact, Brady Hicks, who you remember from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, and former Philly radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern, and of course, In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. And by the way, both of these shows take callers live during the show. What are you waiting for? Go listen live right now at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all of our podcasts by searching for VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. Oh, and follow them on Twitter, too, at VOC Nation.
Welcome to the Rock and Roll Union Podcast. My name is C.T. McManus, and for the next little while, it is my job to take your mind off the craziness of the world out there and get it refocused on some good old-fashioned rock and roll. We have a great show for you this evening, guys. We have a double interview episode. We're going to first be joined by Damian Monte Carlo, who is he is of, man, Mach 22, Lady Diesel, and now has his own solo material as well. Excited to be speaking with him this evening. He's going to be talking. We're going to be talking mainly about his solo stuff, but we're also going to touch base on Lady Diesel and Mach 22 and everything else in between. So you're going to want to stick around for that interview. Also, joining us at the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by the gals in Detroit Cobras. Guys, they've been around for a long time. We're going to talk about COVID, we're going to be talking about the Cobras, we're going to be talking about everything in between, and going to be a really, really great episode this evening, guys. Wanted to touch base a little bit with one of our sponsors, which is Phoenix Custom Printing. Want to really suggest that you guys start getting your band merch together, all the stuff that you need to be up and running once everything opens back up again. I know we are in a little bit of an up. We're opening up slowly but surely. But, guys, I'm telling you, once everything opens up at full capacity, the dam is going to burst and the local scenes are going to be amazing. If you want your merch to be ready when you are, call this number now, 410-206-2081. That is Phoenix Custom Printing. Phone number, once again, is 410-206-2081. They can hook you up with any kind of merchandise that you want to do, as far as hats, shirts, whatever. Give them a call, Tom, you heard it on the Rock and Roll Union, and they're going to take 20% off your printing orders, guys. Make sure you check them out. That number one more time is 410-206-2081. Like I said, guys, we got a lot going on this evening. Really looking forward to talking to both Damian Monte Carlo and the ladies in Detroit Cobras. If you are a listener to the show, you'll know a couple weeks back, we had Monte Carlo's first single off the new album that's coming out of his solo material. And we debuted that song on here a couple weeks ago. Tonight, I am very excited to announce that we will be unveiling the second single. It's going to debut here. It's not available until next week, but if you want to hear it, stick around because you're going to hear it here before anywhere else. Anyway, kick off the show, get the music rolling. We're going to listen to Monte Carlo's first single. Here is Paradise Lost. If you guys are enjoying this fall weather, man, I sure am. I'm loving the crispness in the air. Things are revving up for Halloween, man. Really excited for it. Hoping the kids this year get out to go out and do some trick-or-treating. Who knows what's going to hold down for that, man. And a lot of great stuff going on, man. Campfire weather, sweatshirt hoodie weather, and it's also the beginning of football season, guys. Not sure if you saw the Eagles last week. They fell to the Washington football team. let's hope if you're an Eagles fan that they do better this week. We'll see. But anyway, winning season also returns at my bookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means Survivor, Super Contests, and Squares. At my bookie, winning season means hitting all your parlays and props with your feet up, watching your team trounce their rivals. Rejoice. It's time to celebrate the NFL season. Invest in your intuition. Use promo code VOC Nation. That's all one word, no spaces, and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. From live betting to championship futures, every play you want to make is waiting at MyBookie. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, and collect your cash. Use promo code VOC Nation. Once again, that's all one word, no spaces, VOC Nation, and double your first deposit. Guys, that's free money, man. Your winning season today begins only at MyBookie. So, guys, we are going to take a quick commercial break so that we don't have to interrupt our interview with Damian Monte Carlo. Really looking forward to speaking with him. He was one of the very first guests on the Rock and Roll Union podcast, and we're going to be touching base with him. So we go back a while, man. We go back a long way. So don't go nowhere. Quick commercial break. We'll be back with Damian Monte Carlo of Monte Carlo.
Hey, this is Total Package, Lex Luger, and you're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
Check out In the Room.
Every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Cassie Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into like snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Ken Resnick.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airline cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have cried?
Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Taylor, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time, or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Stadium Journey, the worldwide leader in stadium reviews for the traveling sports fan, is proud to present the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation. Join us as we talk with prominent figures from around the sports world to discuss issues pertaining to sports travel and stadiums around the globe. New episodes air on VOC Nation Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Join Paul Baker, Dave Cartney, Mark Viquez, Dan Calachico, and guests from throughout the sports world on the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out. VOCNation.com. WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Yo, this is Jerry Stein of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You getting ready to get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
So welcome back to the Rock and Roll Union podcast, guys. So glad that you are with me. We will be joined momentarily by Damian Monte Carlo of Monte Carlo, his own original material. And he, once again, he is also the drummer. He keeps himself busy, man. He is the drummer of Lady Diesel. He's also the drummer of Mach 22. And I believe he is with me. Damian, you with me?
Yeah.
Hey, brother, how you doing, man? Long time no hear.
Doing great, man. It's been a while. I think last time we talked, it was when they started locking everything down.
Yeah, man, it's been crazy. And through this whole lockdown, when did you get started with your solo stuff?
I think it was in July, so I was a little late with getting everything started, but yeah, you know, it was just seemed like there was really to me it seems like there's no light, you know. I mean, I see things starting to open up a little bit, but me being a realist, I think we're still quite a few months down the road from everything totally back to normal. But so yeah, pretty much, like, you know, fired up all my old recording stuff that I had in storage, and you know, I revisited a song that I had written with my buddy Bert Lepore, and you know, we re-recorded this song, and you know, it's the version that you hear now.
It's got a bit of an Alter Bridge style, really, really good tune. I'm talking of Paradise Lost, the first single. And how far back does that go?
I think we wrote that in, like, I found the original track, and I think that was like January of 2012. That was. And
wow.
It was just, me and him, I had this band before, prior to Mach 22, that I was in from like 2007 to like 2012, called Juliet's Vice. And I actually play guitar and I sang a little bit in that band. We had like two lead singers, me and this other guy, Dan Parcells. We both sang and played guitar, sort of like a Kiss kind of feel, you know, Kiss vibe. But I suck at writing lyrics, so I hit up Bert one day, and we've been, you know, we were friends since we were teenagers. So I had like music, and I sent it to him, and he sent it back to me like the next day with like lyrics and melodies, you know. And we did this. We wrote quite a bit of songs that way. But this one, you know, Paradise Lost, I wrote. I was listening to like a lot of heavier stuff at the time, and it didn't fit Juliet's Vice, so we just kind of, you know, did it for us, you know.
Right.
And I was listening to it maybe like 2-3 months ago. I was like, damn, man, this is like a really good song. But I never, you know, it sounded like a demo. It didn't sound like a finished product.
Right.
So I hit up in July, and it's like, yo, you want to, you know, I got all my recording stuff set up again, and I would like to re-record, you know, Paradise Lost. Maybe revisit it and, you know, see what we could do with it. And we did. And it turned out amazing, I thought.
Now, what would you say as far as from the very first version of it that you had to what you put out? How much did it change?
Didn't change that much. I mean, the quality is definitely a lot better. I think the drums sound way better. The guitars are heavier. The vocals, we added a part to the chorus, but the original version is maybe like, it was pretty close. I mean, it definitely sounded like it needed something, but what we came up with, this was like perfect.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great song, man. We really got to give you credit for it. And wanted to ask, as far as, are we looking forward to an EP? Is it an album? Like, are you just going to drop things as singles? How are you going about it?
I don't know. I mean, we talked about it, you know, a few different ways. You know, the original plan was, you know, I have some songs that I sang and I wrote lyrics for too. So I was like, I'm just going to put my name on it and it's going to be anything goes. I'll have friends sing on it. I'll have friends play guitar, do solos on it. I may sing a track. It was like, it's, you know, one song is going to be metal. Another song could be, you know, ballad. It's like, I like a lot of different types of music. I'm just going to throw everything out there.
That's awesome.
So, we were going, you know, the plan was just throw this out and see what happened. And the feedback has been, you know, amazing. It's pretty incredible. So the plan right now is to do a single a month.
Okay.
And then maybe, maybe put it out as like, I'm thinking out loud right now, maybe like when we get to 5 songs, maybe put out an EP with like
right.
an extra track or two. So it'll be like a 7-song EP. Or maybe just wait till we have 10 or 12 songs and put, compile everything, But as far as from now, we got songs up until December, if we go through this 1 month, 1 song per month plan. So.
Now, as far as the band, that are you doing everything yourself? Or like who's been on the album so far, or the song so far as Paradise Lost or the new one that we're going to show a little later on, who's been playing with you? Have you been recording most of the tracks yourself as far as instruments?
Yeah. Instrumentally speaking, as far as like who played what, on Paradise Lost, I played everything, drums, bass.
Wow.
All the guitars, and Bert did all the vocals. This next song that's going to debut next week that you're going to play today, called Hannah, was pretty much the same thing, except I had a friend do the guitar solos on that. So
okay.
I'm probably going to stick to that plan. I might have eventually. I mean, if it's something that like I don't even consider myself a guitar player. It's like for me, it's just like I play well enough to write a song, but. If there's something in my head that I can't play, I'm going to call a friend of mine,
right.
somebody to do it for me, So, in the future, you'll see other people play on the tracks. But on this track coming up, the upcoming single, Hannah, is just me and Bert doing everything, and Cooper Boyd, a young guy from Jersey Shore, he's 21. He's a killer guitar player, and he does like a smoking guitar solo on this. So
that's awesome. Now, if say COVID goes away, are you looking at playing any of this stuff live? Are you looking to play any shows with your solo stuff?
I don't know. I mean, I guess that remains to be seen. I mean, we'll see how, what the reaction is, the public reaction. I mean, I wasn't really looking to do any gigs, but I was kind of, really blown away by the feedback of this, Paradise Lost. And, if people dig the next tracks, I mean, if there's a demand, we will put something together. I'll put like, grab a guitar player or two and a bass player, and we'll do some shows if it's, if it's worth it. But we're having fun doing what we're doing now. I guess we'll just see what happens,
That's awesome. Now, with the whole COVID situation and everything being down, what's new as far as Mach 22 or as far as Lady Diesel is concerned? I know you guys were recording with Lady Diesel. Any updates on either band?
Lady Diesel, we have a whole EP that we recorded all the basic tracks. We did that like last fall, I think, like last October, November. So that's just kind of like sitting around. I think, with the whole lockdown and everything, and we haven't really been able to finish like the vocals and some guitar stuff. So that's just kind of there. I did talk to the guys the other day about maybe doing like. Doing a song, like a cover tune or something, just to kind of throw it out there, so that might happen soon, maybe. Mach 22 is pretty much the same situation. We got a whole EP that we recorded, 5 songs. We did release a single back in May. I just finally received the mixed and mastered tracks a couple days ago, and honestly, I'm not really that happy with it. So I don't
right.
know when that's going to come out. But, how it was given to me today, it's like, we can't release it yet. It has to be remixed.
I hear you.
And, so the plan was to get that out, like September or sometime in this fall. But honestly, I really don't know when that's coming.
I don't know if you got the chance to check it out. The past two nights there was an event called Six String Salute, which was trying to make me for the people that are on the road crews and behind the scenes. And I know that you do a lot of work behind the scenes, especially with Tama. Are you seeing a lot of people down in the music industry as far as, I mean, how are sales with Tama and how's everything going with that?
I work in the music industry on the instrument side. You know, as you mentioned, I work for Tama Drums and Ibanez Guitars. And from what I hear, you know, from what I see, is that we're doing amazing.
That's awesome.
And that, and from what I've been reading, like all the other companies, like Fender, Gibson, you know, all the other, you know, musical instrument companies are doing great business also. So that's got to tell you something. Like, people are cooped up in their homes, they want to do, like, you know, Facebook Live videos and, you know, do what I did, like get a home studio built in their house and, you know, stuff like that. So the music industry on that end is doing amazing. Amazing.
That's awesome.
I mean, but I think people are starting to get a little creative and they're trying to find ways to make it. You know, I've been seeing at first, like in March when they first started, you saw a lot of Facebook Live videos, people playing acoustically in their homes. And then they had like a little Venmo thing, like, hey, if you want to donate something. But now I'm starting to see like almost like pay-per-view concerts come back. Like,
yeah,
you know, full productions, you know, and, you know, $10, you know, who was doing it? It was like a big band I saw, like $10. I forget who it was, but
I know they had one with the parody band, Steel Panther.
Steel Panther, yeah.
I know they've had one.
Yeah.
I know different band. Yeah, I've noticed that myself. Any thoughts on post COVID as far as the rock scene is going to look? I mean, me personally, I think the local scene is just going to explode once everything opens at full capacity. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I think just from what I'm seeing, like on the instrument side, like as far as sales go, I mean, it's really, really good. I mean, you know, music stores are having like, you know, Christmas type business, like March, April, May, June, July, August, September. Like every month has been like, you know, that's amazing. That's got to tell you something. And like, it's funny because like 2-3 years ago, like the New York Times or Washington Post or somebody like put out a story like how the electric guitar is dead. Well, now that same like paper put out an article last week how there's like a huge resurgence. And, you know, I, being on the end that I'm at, I see it, you know. So I think when all stuff comes to an end, I think there's going to be such a huge, like, explosion of, like, a lot of great new bands coming out and a lot of new music. I mean, if you're not putting out anything now, if you're not being creative during this time, then that's just, like, that's time wasted. That's such a, like, –
that's right. You're right.
But my whole thing is like, you know, 20, 30 years from now, 40 years, and I look back on 2020 or 2020, who knows how long it's going to last. Like, what did I do with myself during that time? Did I just been complain and watch TV and Netflix every weekend? Like, I pick up a new instrument, you know, learn a new hobby, like, you know, get some online classes, like, you know, do something like with yourself during this time, you know, make good use of it, you know? So,
I mean, I gotta,
if you're like,
I gotta admit, I mean, with the time off, I mean, I'm literally speaking, this is the first time that I've been not having a day job. I'm on unemployment for the first time in 14 years. And I am fully taking advantage of this time between the podcast, hanging with my one-year-old. It's been a great time. I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you know, it's, you know, it sucks. We don't have, you know, we can't do things that we normally used to do. But on the flip side, like, you know, do something now during this downtime where once things open up, you could better yourself. You know what I mean? Or like,
that's it.
You know, so I see like a lot of bands, a lot of, you know, artists being productive during this time, or it's going to be great when everything opens up. And if you're not, then that's, you know, that's your loss. I mean, you got to make things happen, you know?
It's crazy because I've been inundated with, as far as podcasts is concerned, with a lot of bands that have new material right now. I know like Ryder put out a full album and Race the Rat put out a lot of new stuff. And these bands are taking advantage, like you're saying, of the time. Any thoughts to things changing? I mean, I personally think that this time was really necessary for rock to a point where, you know, this is almost a restart for us, where a lot of newer bands can start coming out. And I mean, some of the older bands, it was time. It was kind of time to let them go and open up the way for new blood. Any thought on that?
Oh, I agree. I mean, look, all the bands that we've loved are in their, you know, they're at the end of their career. You know, I mean, they're like in their 60s and 70s. They can hardly do it. I mean, there's a few that still can, but, you know, how many more years are we going to see some of these classic bands touring? Like, you know, what do we have? Maybe 5-10 tops for some of these bands? It's like,
yeah.
Well, then what's going to happen? Then who's going to fill the arenas? Like, who's going to play the BB&T Center in Camden? Like, Buck Cherry? I mean, they can't even play like the TLA. You know, it's like,
yeah.
you need new young bands. You got to groom them. You know, and that's where radio comes in. Like, stop playing. Like, I don't get how they still play, like, you know, terrestrial radio still plays the same classic bands, but like, you get a new band like Dirty Honey, like, push the hell out of them. And they are.
Hell,
I mean,
yeah.
I hear them a lot on the radio. But a band like that, you need, like, people hate on Greta Van Fleet, whatever your opinion is, fine. But, you know, they've had great success, and those type of bands need to be groomed to be the next headliners. If not, then it's doomed. You know, then rock is dead. And when Gene Simmons made that comment, rock is dead, it was meant on a commercial level. Like,
right.
And I've heard other people say, like, you know, rap stars are the new rock stars, and then all rock people get all bent out of shape. Well, you know what? They're right. They're right, because rock stars back in the day were like, you know, you see all these videos, they're, you know, they're living the life in their mansions and their pools and stretch limousines. Like, you don't see any rock stars doing that anymore. It's all the rap hip-hop dudes, like, they do all that stuff. So, yeah. They are the new rock stars. So,
I mean, as far as
you
I think, as far as
guys,
the hip hop, I think as far as the hip hop, I agree with you. Is not only is it in the lifestyle that they have, but it's also in pushing the envelope. I mean, people, how many people have not stopped talking about Cardi B's WAP? Or, I mean, when's the last time we heard rock push the envelope? When was the last time we heard anything edgy come out of rock and roll? It's been a while.
Yeah, yeah, and here's something else. I forget where I heard this at, but I heard it recently, and there's a lot of truth to it also. Our age, and they hear some new band, what's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to hate on it, and they're going to talk about the old days.
Yep.
You know, oh, yeah, that's cool, man, but, like, you know, Aerosmith and the Stones are, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. But hip-hop thrives on, like, on new artists, like all the big hip hop guys I've never even heard of. You don't see, like, you know, Run DMC and, like, you know, I'm not like a big hip hop guy, but you know what I'm you don't hear like LL Cool J and all that,
right?
All that stuff. It's all about new music, and they accept it. Like, those fans accept all the new music and push it forward. Rock isn't like that. It's not. And
now,
that's why it is where it is.
What would you say would take it, would need to happen to make it get to that point again?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. You need to get the help from radio, You need bands that tour, like these big package tours that you see. Like, well, for one that I think is great, the stadium tour. You know, it's a great package. And the band that's playing first that, you know, most people don't even mention is Tuck Smith and the Restless Heart.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. And I'm a huge fan of Tuck and his former band, The Biters. And I've been waving his flag for 10 years. That guy is like, you know, if he doesn't make it huge, like there's something wrong with this world. So when I saw that he got on that stadium tour, that's a step in the right direction. So you need bands like that, you know, like if Ozzy goes out or Kiss, like you need like, or Aerosmith, the Stones, like bring a new band out, not like another nostalgia act. You know?
Right. And, you know, that was one of the things that always drove me a little nuts was how many of these bands, I was a huge Aerosmith fan, but when was the last album? And how many of these bands are riding off their greatest hits? And it gets frustrating. But you also have other bands that are out there that are still putting out albums that you have no clue. Things like Warrant are still out there putting out new albums, or Tesla's putting out new albums. You have no idea about it.
Radio doesn't play it. And even satellite radio, they don't even play it. Like, if you listen to the Boneyard or Hair Nation, they won't play like the new Tesla song. They're classics, and I think that hurts. You know, that hurts the genre, as a whole. You know, like Whitesnake, Tesla, those bands are still putting out great albums. You know, every couple years. You know, so they can't play those songs live. They do. They play a new song from the record. People just go, you know, okay, it's time to, I don't know the song, let's go to the bathroom, you know?
Yeah.
But if radio played it, if they had the support, then people say, oh, yeah, I heard that on the radio. It's a great song. Let's stick around for it. You know what I mean?
And, I mean, the other thing that comes to mind as far as celestial radio is there used to be a time where they would even give a nod to the local musician, but it feels like that's even gone. Like, you're right. There's no room for them on those type of networks, man. And it's sad. It's frustrating because I'm not a big fan of 90s music. But I got to say, the 90s was the last time a rock artist was allowed to have new material out there.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, it seemed like that's pretty much like when it ended, you know. I mean, maybe a little bit into the 2000s, but... yeah, the past 15, close to 20 years, it's been totally changed. A lot of people say, you know, it's due to streaming and stuff like that. I don't know. My whole thing is, like, the game is constantly changing. You just got to adapt and, you know, find new ways to make it work, you know?
And going back to you saying, comparing other bands, like I think of Greta Van Fleet, who I thought was great for what they did, and was bringing a new generation of young fans up into guitar-driven music. But then there was so much hate from the old generation because they sounded like Zeppelin.
I know. When I remember when Guns N' Roses came out, a lot of people said that Axl sounded like, it was like Aerosmith ripoff meets, you know, Janis Joplin, Nazareth, you know. You know, people are always going to hate immediately, but hey, like you said, a lot of kids are into them, so good. You know, if it makes some 13-year-old kid pick up a guitar because of Greta Van Fleet, that's amazing. Do it.
That's right.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
So let's get into, I'm going to ask you, because I got to take a commercial break. But I'm going to ask you about the new one, Hannah, that we're getting ready to play. How long has this track been around, and who took care of lyrics and everything for this?
That song is maybe like 3 weeks old. That's brand new.
Awesome.
I think we came up with that like the end of August. And, you know, I just kind of, it just popped in my head. Like I heard something in my head, and I just recorded it real quick. just like a quick arrangement. I sent it to Bert, and like within a day or two, he had lyrics for it and everything. So then I kind of finished it up, and you know, we're going back and forth, changing a little, couple little things, tweaking things here and there. But that was like super quick. And we have another one that's ready for October, November. Both of those came really, really quick as well.
That's awesome. Now, is there any symbolic meaning behind the name Hannah? Is anybody you know or?
I don't know. You probably have to ask Bert. I mean, I know it's about heroin addiction. So
okay.
I don't know if it's someone that he knows or something, but. I mean, that's basically what the lyrics are about.
Gotcha. So, Damian, thank you so much for coming on, man. It's been great touching base with you. We got to talk more often.
Yeah, same here, man. It's always a good time, and you're a great interviewer. I always like talking to you.
Thanks, brother. So, keep us up to date. Put all the new stuff on the Union page for me, and. Send me the MP3 so we can play them on the show.
Yeah, we'll do. I appreciate the support.
Thanks, brother. Have a great rest of your weekend, man.
Thanks, man. You too. Have a good one.
See ya.
Bye.
So that was Damian Monte Carlo, and here is Hannah. Monte Carlo with Hannah. I want to thank Damian for coming on board, man. Like I said, great conversation. Love touching base with him every so often, guys. And such a good time to be had, man. Really looking forward to things getting back in the normal. I don't want to hear about the new normal. I'm honestly, guys, you can call me here. The number is 914-338-1885. I personally am having a hard time with the drive-ins. I'm having a hard time with the live streams. I got to get back out there, man. And, you know, I've been kind of staying isolated at home and staying away, really hoping the fall doesn't turn out to be what they say it might be. So hopefully things can get back under control sooner rather than later. But, guys, I'm just having a hard time with some of the ways things are happening. But it's all good, man. It's all in the name of rock and roll. And, man, I'm telling you, Halloween is fast approaching. Normally, as you know, because you're listening, if you're listening live, we record on Saturday nights. And Halloween this year is on a Saturday night, so I'm actually taking that time to spend Halloween with my little one. So in light of that, we're going to be coming out Friday night, October 30th, Mischief Night. We'll have a special episode, guys. If you have any certain music, we're going to be talking horror soundtracks. We're going to be talking all kinds of fun stuff, guys. And it's just going to be a great time. So that plus, if you want to looking to the calendar a little bit ahead, October 17th, there will be no podcast on October 17th. My oldest son is getting married. I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm going to spend a little time with him. So now that we're looking into October a little bit, can't believe it. October came so quick. But to tell you the truth, guys, I think I'm with everybody. I'm ready to get past 2020. Let's go ahead and get into 2021. But as the air is getting a little bit cooler, as the leaves are starting to change and Halloween's fast approaching, we're going to take a little trip with Hickson to the Lucifer's Lounge.
Let's go! Rainbow on a rainbow. Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute, you're listening to VOC Nation Worldwide.
VOC Nation is one of the longest-running wrestling podcast networks. Having started way back in 2010, VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts also include former backstage interviewer from both AWA and WWE, Ken Resnick, former WCW performer The Maestro, former Impact performer Wes Crisco, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Wirtz. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirtz, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. Both shows take callers live during the show, and recent guests have included General Adnan, Tito Santana, Haku, Earl Hebner, Danger Sandy Davis, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Brodus Clay, and so many more. Archived free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists and more. We have excited many people by our live events. We've welcomed everybody into the fold, and we continue to do so on a weekly basis. Guys, that is Rock and Roll Union, and that is what we do for you.
Saturdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com.
Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey, the morning after, right here on the VOC Nation Radio Network. Brady Hicks and...
Homeboy Rap Boy here. I tell you what, we got a good show right here in the afternoon at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on the VOC Nation.
Talking wrestling, football, news, whatever's going on in the world today.
VOCNation.com.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school match of the week. Talking dream matches. Taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out. VOCNation.com. WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Rock and Roll Union Podcast, guys. And one more message from one of our sponsors, guys. Winning season returns at MyBookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means Survivor, Super Contest, and Squares. At MyBookie, winning season means hitting all your parlays and props with your feet up, watching your team trounce their rivals. Rejoice. It is time to celebrate. The NFL season's back, baby. Invest in your intuition. Use promo code VOCNATION, all one word, no spaces, and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, guys. That is free money in your pocket, $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. From live betting to championship futures, every play you want to make is waiting at MyBookie. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Use promo code VOCNATION. Once again, that's all one word, no spaces, and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today. Only at MyBookie. Guys, welcome back to the Rock and Roll Union Podcast. It is my pleasure to introduce our next guest. They have been around the block for the past 26 years, man. I'm very, very excited to speak with them. And welcome to Mary Ramirez of the Detroit Cobras. Mary, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can. How are you?
I'm doing good. Where are you at?
We are we're located out of South Jersey.
Oh, okay, okay. So how's it going down in South Jersey? I mean, like, you know, how's the COVID down that way?
Oh man, I'll tell you, I see things a certain way, and other people see things another way. I see some of the bars are trying to open up, some of the live music venues are trying to open up, but I see a lot of bars that are going to have a problem because a lot of the distancing, a lot of the other things aren't being followed. So I just got a bad feeling that things will go back to what it was.
Right. Well, definitely live music is not going to come back anytime soon. I mean, I got my friend playing on my porch. I'm in my back porch. He's on my front porch playing the Who in Christ Mary for Ruth Ginsburg. But you know, I mean, I don't feel safe going into a bar, you know.
I'm the same way, you know, and, you know, I feel bad because I see some people that are going into it, and there are some live music events being held out there, but I don't think you could get me out the one right now.
No, I mean, it's not about dying, it's about, I have a friend who lives in Jersey, and he got COVID in April, and he still hasn't gotten all well yet, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah,
so, it's not worth it.
It's a scary situation, and, you know, it's, I don't know how you feel. I personally feel that people aren't taking it, some people aren't taking it as serious as we need to. And I think in the long run, that's going to actually be worse for us than if we just all got together and said, let's just beat it.
Yes. Yes. I don't understand the whole, I don't want to wear a mask because it's my right. I mean, why do you follow stop signs? And why do you, like, I mean, you know, it's for the good of the community. It's just so silly. But, you know, I after this, I don't know if I'm going to take my mask ever to go shopping in the grocery store. You know, I mean, it's like, it you know, the flu season. I mean, I was thinking, do I take a flu shot? You know what I mean? It's
right.
Too many questions. You know, I don't know, but I wear a mask. I like wearing a mask. I don't have no problem wearing a mask. And COVID has been interesting. You know, we live in Detroit. We had a really bad outbreak. So did you, right?
Absolutely. Well, when everything initially hit, we were like Philadelphia, New York, which is above us and beneath us, they were the epicenters for the whole, once everything kicked off. So things were shady on both ends. But
yeah,
I mean, North Jersey really got hit next to New York. And
wow.
It's amazing to see what different parts of the country are doing and what's happening.
Yeah. I just don't wish anybody dead, you know, and that's the thing that kind of like that's the thing that kind of irks me, that I have these thoughts in my head now, like, well, you deserved it, you know what I mean, kind of thing. I don't want to think that way. I don't want to think like that, you know.
I agree with you, and you know, I'm right there with you. You start seeing the people that don't take it as serious, and it seems like the people that don't take it serious get hit the worst. And
right.
I mean,
you know, like the priest in Maine who, you know, and he told everybody to come, and now he's in ICU. What are you supposed to say? Good for you, you know? I mean, I don't want to go there. I don't want to think like that. You know, I got plenty of stuff to hate. I don't need to add extra hate into my life.
Man, and it just feels like hate right now is at an all-time high, and you kind of want to be the opposite of that. And that's what I've been telling people as far as rock and roll. At first, I was asking, you know, with the time period that we're living in, where are all the protest songs that there used to be? And then people would say, well, what would you protest against? And I said, you know, I think love is the biggest protest we can do right now, because everybody wants to hate. Rock and roll is always rebellion. So love is our rebellion now. I mean, taking care of each other and being good people seems to be the rebellion right now.
It's like we need a love bomb, you know? We need a fucking love bomb. We are in a love emergency right now. Like, you know, like it's just, God, man. I mean, people are just angry. It's just angry. You know, I live in Michigan, so you know, we got people going with AK-47s to the fucking state house. You know, it's just like, man. You know, nothing says weak than carrying AK-47 with you.
Yeah.
You know, for no good reason. You know.
Luckily for me, I mean, I live out in a rural area, so I don't see a whole lot of the riots and the protests. But you guys are kind of deep in the middle of that, aren't you?
No, not really. I mean, it's like you know, if you concentrate on just this, you know, it's like when the cops, you know, when they try to say, well, you know, it's only a few bad cops or it's only a few bad protesters.
That's
right. You know, it's equal. And so, you know, for the most part, no. I mean, for the most part, it's all been peaceful. I mean, the things that break out. Look, Detroit's a pretty rough city, and it's got nothing to do with protesting. You know, I mean,
right.
And Detroit's gotten better, but I mean, even if it was the best of times, and you know, there will be somebody shooting somebody in Detroit. There'll be somebody shooting somebody in Chicago. There'll be shooting somebody in Baltimore. You know, I mean, hey, guns. There's a thought. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I'm an army kid. I grew up with guns, and I have no love for them. You know,
yeah.
because they only do one thing.
That's right. And my wife is the same way. My wife grew up an Army brat, and she, I mean, we have four older kids and we have a one-year-old, and she's refused to use, to let them play with any kind of play guns around the house. And
it,
you're right. It's meant for one thing.
It's meant for one thing. I mean, if it'd be one thing if, like, you know, I was an Army brat. So, like, you know, my dad, you know, took me to the gun range early on, and he, you know, but he was over the top safety, you know, like, okay, they pick up the gun, shoot it, okay, put it back down, put your hands to the side, pick up the gun. I mean, come on, you know, like, you know, but it was all to teach me not to think of it as a toy, you know, not to think of this gun as a toy, you know, it's a gun, it's only one
right.
purpose, it's to shoot, you know. Target shooting is fun, but when you think about it, what is the point, you know? I mean, I understand people, you know, I understand people to want to throw axe, you know? I don't want to throw an axe, but I understand if somebody wants to throw one at a target, you know? Yeah, to each
right.
your own, but I don't like glorifying it, you know? I don't understand why you need 10 guns, and I don't understand why you need, you know, to stockpile, you know, ammo, and, you know, if you get
right.
to that point where I got to stockpile ammo, I'll pick up and go somewhere else, you know? I mean, this is just silly. I don't need to fight a war, you know. I mean, this is just like, I'm ready for the war. What war?
Like, yeah.
Have you any idea what war means? War means a lot of fucked up shit. Like, you probably
That's
won't
right.
have electricity. You know,
That's
you
right.
won't be. You won't have no toilet. You won't have no refrigerator because there won't be no electricity. Because it's what war means. Everything goes out. You know, it's like that's fucked up shit, man. People just glorify dumb shit they don't have nothing, no clue about.
Right.
But we're going to talk about rock and roll, and we have a clue about rock and roll. What are we going to talk about?
Hell yeah. So talking about the Cobras, man, you guys have been – last year you celebrated 25 years together, man. What could you say is the difference between where the Cobras are now and 94?
Okay, well, that's somebody who wrote that. That was not – we were not together in 94. I say we were together in 96. That makes it 23 years, but it doesn't make it any better.
Okay.
I mean, 94 might have been 94 might have been the day that we sat around and talked about it, you know.
Right. Okay.
But we basically we put out a 45 pretty quickly after we joined. Like, and I, you know, like we didn't go and play a lot and blah blah blah, and then made a record. We just and that was true of a lot of bands in Detroit. They just we there was a place you could make records, and we were our own best fans. Like, in Detroit, there was a lot of bands, and we loved ourselves, you know. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, we just
right.
were happy with our scene. And so, and I'm sure there were other places. I'm thinking Texas or whatever, you know, Memphis. Memphis had a lot of bands. We just like when we would go to the clubs that were filled the most were with three local bands, you know. And there was like, you know, we had bands that we wanted to play with. It wasn't like major acts. We wanted to play with other local acts.
Right.
And so we all like, you know, we all started putting out records pretty early on. And that was also the beginning of, like, I don't know the beginning, but that was also when we became aware of Sympathy for the Record Industry. You know, and there was a magazine called Flipside, and they had one glossy page in the front and back. And the back page belonged to, you know, Sympathy for the Record Industry. And they had all these little cool pictures of cool records. So we want to be on that, you know?
Hell
and,
yeah.
And I think, for you to be he used to call himself Long John Silver or something like that. Long gone. And Long Gone would basically give any band with girls money. It's like, we had two, yay. You know, White Stripes, they had one. I mean, seriously, you go out the line, you see that there's a girl. But he also had really good bands, and you wanted to be on that label because there were so many good bands on there. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't
right.
about signing to a major or nothing. I mean, majors were, we don't even know what that is. You know, we didn't know what majors is, it was, or anything. And as far as radio goes, radio kind of sucked at the time. There might have been like a couple of underground radio, you know, stations that you tune in on a Sunday. One was from Canada, I think, that we used to tune in. That was really, really good. But, you know, I mean, it was very local. That's the best way I can describe it. It was very, very, very local. Like, I don't know if I'm going to name some of the band, but we used to have a festival that was like, you know, in some dead end street, you know, and no food. I mean, think, you know, a lot of like, I soaked these cherries in, you know, liquor for 10 days, one buy one for a dollar, you know, and then, you know, you eat one and you're instantly drunk, you know. But it was, I mean, like, I remember, like, one afternoon, it was the Cobras, the White Stripes, the Dirt Bombs, Bantam Roosters, Easy Action. I mean, it was, you know, and that was, these were all local bands. And then there was another stage with, you know, another stage with that, like what was it, DJ, what's it, and titties, ass, and titties. ass, and titties. I mean, it was. I forgot what his name. I can't remember his name. But he, there was a lot of local bands, and we were in love with each other. I mean, that's gonna sound really gay, but we were in love with each other. We were competing with each other. You know what I mean? And it was fun, fantastic fun.
That's awesome.
So, what's the difference from then and now? We grew up and it became a job, you know. Not the worst thing that can happen, but when there's no expectations, you really do it for fun.
That's awesome. I mean, one of the things that I noticed about you guys is you do mainly covers, which is great because you do songs that. You know, I was listening to your back catalog, and I had to go look for the original song. I heard you guys do it before I heard other people do it. And
oh, exactly.
How did you guys fall into that? Like, what was the mind frame?
Well,
I mean,
the Stones did that. The Beatles did that. It's like the oldest thing. The oldest. I mean, I was talking to the Raining Sounds, Greg Carter. I don't know if you know him, but he said one time, he said to me, he goes, you know, he goes, I will never stop doing covers because it keeps you on your toes. You know, we do pretty well, you know, I mean, as far as like, you know, whatever, you know what I mean? I mean, as far as getting gigs and stuff like that. And people have said, well, you know, you only do covers. I'm like, well, you can do them too. It's not as easy as you think it is. You know, it's not as easy as you think it is. I mean, for me and Rachel, which is basically, you know, we're the core of the band.
Right.
For us is we do songs that we want to, we do songs that we want to understand them. You know what I mean? So when
right.
when you're doing them, you have to know how to understand them. Did we achieve the same thing that we thought we were listening to? Did we achieve the same feeling that we get when we were listening to it? And it, you know, it's not. I mean, listen, if you copy the notes and you played it. Then we could all be Muddy Waters. You know what I mean? Like, let me play every note. Nobody know. I'd be Muddy Waters, but you can't. You can't be because it's got to come from within you. So doing a cover is you have to understand the cover. And you have to understand, and you also have to be a good judge of whether you're doing it right or not. You know, none of this, that's good enough. You can't do that. You got to say,
right.
We did it or we didn't do it. And I think, you know, there's some originals. We just did a song. The latest song we did, actually, there's two songs, but the latest song we did was a song that the drummer wrote. And you know, when he said, I got a song, we listened to it and we go, we can do that. I mean, I don't care who writes it. I don't care if we do it or don't write it. But it has to check. There's a bar that's set, and that bar has to be met.
Right.
And sometimes I think people pay too much heed to saying like, oh, I wrote these songs myself. Well, if they're not great, what difference does it matter? Listen, if I go see a band, and this is a kind of a tell sign. If I go see a band, and I see this all the time, and I love, by the way, watching bands play live. I just one of my favorite things to do. So you can imagine what I'm going through with COVID.
Same here.
One of my favorite things to do is to go see bands live, and you don't have to be great. Just entertain. Just make me happy. I'm drinking a beer.
Right.
But one of the things that I can tell you about watching bands play is that even though I don't know nothing about them, I can tell you when they're playing a cover, and I can tell you why. I mean, sometimes I get it wrong, but for the most part, my batting average is like, you know, a good 80%+, because they play it differently, because they know where they have to go. They know what they have to do. They know what they're trying to achieve. Okay, so when I watch a band and all of a sudden they do be a song, I mean, and they're just kicking it, you know, and I'll say, is that a cover? And they go, yeah, it's a blah, 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 you know, and I go, yeah, you did a good job. But, you know, And why? Because they knew what to do. They, in other words, they knew where they wanted to go. They weren't just accepting it's good enough. You know what I mean? They knew where they what they wanted to do. And I think, like, I mean, to be honest, I think, like, all bands should do covers, because finding the right cover for you is also another art.
I agree. And I think certain bands, I mean, every big band out there has picked a cover that they've made their own.
I mean, think about that. I mean, there's so many acts that I can tell you that their biggest hits were covers, starting with the Black Crowes.
Hell yeah.
Janis Joplin. Aretha Franklin. I mean, and they don't have no qualms with it. You know, I mean, it's you know, I mean, most of all pop is written by somebody else. You know, Jimmy Webb. I mean, you know, Lyman, Wichita Lyman of the County. I mean, I don't know if people know this song, but I mean, it's a wonderful song, but it's written by Jimmy Webb. And Glenn Campbell is a fucking fantastic writer. You know. So it's you know, I mean, it doesn't matter where it comes from. It's a song. That's the most important part. It's a song. Now, if you write it, good for you. I mean, if you write a good one, great for you. You know, but you should not be afraid of covers. Covers make you stronger.
Now, what would you say is one of the biggest mistakes that a cover band out there does?
They miss the point of the song. So let's go down some covers. You name one and I'll name one, okay? So do you know the original of Red Wine?
Yes.
Okay, so Neil Diamond's Red Wine, it's a beautiful. I mean, he sounds like he's on red wine, okay? I mean, he's like red. I mean, he sounds like he's fucking drinking red wine. I mean, the first time I heard that, I was like, this is so cool. And then there's UB40. Now, is UB40 song wrong? No, but I think it's not. But it's not a bad. It's not a bad cover of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know the UB40. It's not a bad cover. Do if I had to choose one, would I choose? I would probably choose Neil Diamond. But they got the spirit of the, you know what I mean? Like they it's kind of laid back just as much as even though it's up, it's laid back. You know, I remember the first time I heard a cover that I didn't know it was a cover, and then I heard the original, and I, you know what? It didn't change my mind about the cover at all. And that
That's
was,
right.
That was When You Were Young, was it The Saints? The Saints, and then it was Do You Get Stronger? River Deep, Mountain High, River Deep, Mountain
right.
High. Yeah, I told you, my old mind. Okay, so that's by Tina Turner. Right, it was Phil Spector. But the first time I heard that song was by The Saints. I adored it. I thought it was so cool. And I was a big Saints fan. And you know what song I'm talking about by The Saints, right?
Oh yeah, yep.
Yeah. And so when I first heard that song, I loved it. And then I heard the original. The original is great, but that did not make me stop loving the Saints version at all, at all. I just see it as two different ways to make a pie, you know, same ingredients, and that's the biggest mistake that I think a lot of bands, when they cover, they really have to, I don't think make it their own. They have to be in the same spirit, you know. Like if the song is, I don't know, you know, I don't possess the proper words to describe what I'm trying to say. I don't have a good thesis in my head. But I just think like it has to move the same way, you know, whether you're doing it fast or slow, you know. I just heard the other day a slow version of Aha did a slow version of their own song. Have you heard that one?
I didn't hear that. No.
Yeah, they did. I mean, because I was sitting. As a matter of fact, I was sitting in Meg White's house, and she played his song, and I go, we're by the pool, and I go, is that Aha? She goes, yes. I go, is that Aha covering Aha? She goes, yes. And I go,
wow.
Aha. You know, yeah. And you probably could look it up. I mean, it's them doing their own song in a slow version, and it works. It works. I mean, it's because they understand the song. So I mean, but look, you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be all that deep, but to a certain degree, yes. You can't go I mean, one of the things that we had a problem with, and like as far as covering, and Rachel would like put her foot down. She goes, "We're not covering. We're never covering James Brown. We can't tangle with James Brown, you know." And I think when Thurman re-released our second record, I stuck in. We had went to the studio and did it, and I stuck it in there. And it's just like a bonus cut. It's not the original album. It's only the Thurman album. But as we attempted to. I mean, and it was, and it's an obscure James Brown tune, but you know, you can't step into James Brown's shoes. It's like trying to, it's like, I mean, Eddie Money being My Little Baby. I always thought that took a lot of balls.
Right.
You know, I mean, even though he used her, it still took a lot of balls to go up there and do Be My Little Baby. Because I mean, that's like that song just drip. That song just drips sex, you know?
Right. I mean, I'd say one of the greatest covers in my mind would be All Along the Watchtower by Hendrix.
That's true. Or Hey Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, Hey Joe by The Leaves and Hey Joe by Hendrix. I mean, both two cool songs. But I think Jimmy did a better job of Hey Joe than The Leaves.
Or anything anybody covers from Dylan.
That's true. So, you know, I was never a Dylan fan until because I was like, oh, shut the fuck up, dude. And then I seen what's his movie? Don't Look Back. Is it Don't Look Back?
Right. Yeah.
What's the big Dylan movie? It is a movie that Pennebron, whatever his name is. He's the same guy that think that filmed Woodstock, the Woodstock movie. But he,
right.
I think it's called Don't Look Back, and he follows Dylan around Europe, and that's when I'm like, okay, I get it, man, I get it. You know, that dude's pretty cool. But I was before like, oh, shut the fuck up, dude, man. Like, like, oh my god, you know. And then of course, you know, hey, I felt the same way about the Beach Boys. I couldn't stand the Beach Boys. I fucking hated the Beach Boys. I mean, the most interesting thing was that when was a cover. That was like my most hated song by them, and that was a cover. That was a song by this black group, and so I was like, oh my god. But then you know, I mean, in my arrogance, and this is what I love about music. I love that you can be, and it happens more when you're younger, because when you're older, you just like, you know. But when you're young, you go fuck all the rest of the bands. This is the only one that's for me, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm getting rid of all my shirts. This is bullshit. This is the only band that matters. And then you're like, okay. But so for me, there's been so many times when I had to eat crow, and one of them was with the Beach Boys, man. I'm like, fuck the Beach Boys, fuck that fucking Pet Sound bullshit, motherfucking shit. And then one day, holy shit, and it did. Holy fuck, this is a fucking great record. I mean,
yeah.
I had such a problem with Pet Sound that one time me and Rachel took a bunch of mushrooms, and I was gonna secretly tie her up to a tree while she was having a fun time laughing. And then I was going to play Pet Sounds so she couldn't move and torture her. This is what I felt about Pet Sounds for such a long time. And we went as far as going out, doing some mushrooms, and then we got too tired to follow through. But, I mean, but then I, you know, there was the making of Pet Sounds. I don't know if you ever heard that. That is phenomenal. I mean, that's when you really see what a fucking genius Brian Wilson is. I mean, with one ear, and he's like, you know, he's like conducting 40 instruments, and he's like, hey,
yeah,
wait a minute, you're not right, you know. And you're like, holy shit, man, dude's only got one ear, you know. I can barely tell when I'm in tune, and you know, so I. But that was the other one, the other, and it's you know, and the best part is it's always been classic albums too. Like I was like, fuck Exile on Main Street, man, overrated motherfucking full of shit crap. Then one day I was smoking a joint, I go, this is the coolest record ever, you know, and I love the fact that so many times I had to go back and eat crow to my own thing. With the Beach Boys, it got so bad that I one time, like, you know, like, then I was just arrogant about it. Man, you know how good the Beach Boys are? And somebody goes, yes, you know. And then I was at a party, and somebody walked by and he goes, talking about the Beach Boys again, Mary? I'm like, oh, my God, I have lost my mind, because I was. And, you know, so, but I love the fact that you can constantly go back and eat crow, you know. Like I look forward to eating crow on some, techno records, you know. And I've done it already, you know. But I'm waiting for. I mean, every once in a while you go, okay, I did not quite see that, you know, quite see that, and now I do, and it's fucking great, and fuck yeah, and then you get arrogant about it, like I cannot believe I did not get this, you know, like you're some kind of genius or something. I cannot believe I did not understand this, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I've had several bands that I've done that through the years with. So, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. What would you say is the next thing coming for you guys? I mean, I know COVID's got everybody tied down. Are you guys still getting together and playing music at all? Anywhere?
Yeah, we toured Europe, and we came back the day before Thanksgiving last year, and then COVID hit. And I was like, holy shit, man. I mean, literally, we came in, and I think the first cases were in the, and was one Thanksgiving, the 26th, 25th. And then we were supposed to go on March 22nd. We were going to fly to San Diego, and then we were going to tour up the West Coast and maybe go in inland, you know, like to Vegas and stuff, and come back and fly out of Seattle. Because this is going to sound really bizarre, but And I noticed this one a while back that where we do best, it's like a political map, you know, like it's like we don't, you know, there's not much gigs in all the red states, you know what I mean? Like all the gigs are like, there's not much gigs in Florida, you know, that's like a red state, you know what I mean? One day I started laughing. I'm like, oh my God, we're following the political map. But I mean, you know why? Because we have better taste in music. No. We were supposed to fly and you know, on the 22nd, and I remember it was February, and people were starting to get really sick, and then people started dying in Seattle, and all I could think was, okay, if I get sick and I get, they're going to ask me, have you been out of the country? And I'm going to go, yes. And they go, where were you at? I'm going to say, Northern Italy. And they were going to throw me in some goddamn quarantine room. And the cost, you know, when you get quarantined in the hospital, you gotta pay. And it was like, that's like $3,000 a day. And I'm like, fuck no. And so I was like really, really leery of going. And then the sixth person died, and I called my booking agent and I said, I can't do this, man. And then he was like, you know, he's like, yo, you know, other bands. I'm like, I don't think this is a good idea. And 2 weeks later, everything closed. Everything, I mean, literally everything closed. And I mean, like, you know, California. I think like a week and a half later, California closed entirely. And I remember him saying, well, you know, you could do the other two states. And I'm like, I don't think that's a good idea, man. And you know, and now they got fires. Oh my God, this is insanity.
Yeah,
man.
Hell yeah.
And the weirdest part is like we're watching it all on TV. Like, you know, it's like that's just weird, man. The revolution is being televised. But that was my answer. So we just did that. We did that. We did a month and a half in Europe. That went really well. And then the year before, that was, we left. And then the year before that, like the fall before that, we did the MC50 tour. We did like a month and a half of that with celebration of the MC5. And that was with Wayne Kramer and Kim Tayal from Soundgarden. And then there was, what's his name from what was the drummer's name from what's the band from Chicago, DC? You know, I'm drinking wine, so obviously I can't remember things. and then the guy from fuck it. They were from five known bands, and including Wayne Kramer, and they did the MC5's first album in its entirety, and then they would do other songs. It was really good. And we did that. So no, we've been playing around. You know. We've been playing around.
I mean, have you guys gotten together since the whole COVID situation?
No. Rachel lives in New Orleans, and when she's not fighting COVID, she's fighting hurricanes.
Yeah, right?
I mean, I talked to her a couple of days ago. She goes, oh, Sally. You know, that thing was Sally. You know, and she's like, oh, fuck me, man. I'm like, yeah. She goes, this is, you know. She goes, we're so ready to get out of here. You know, so. Yeah, you know, so all we, you know, like everybody else, we just sit on the phone and talk and drink, right?
Hell yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
but I mean,
as far as musically goes, though, I have a real, real need to rock. Like, I just want to rock. You know what I mean? Like, that sounds really stupid. I don't mean like rock, like kick your foot. I mean like right. harder sounds. Like, I want to hear harder sounds. You know, like harder, deeper, like it's like more aggressive sounds. And I'm not saying that we want to become like death metal, but just harder, you know?
Gotcha. Now, if you could like nail it down on like a band or two, who would you say has what you're looking for?
I don't know. I think I'm talking tones, and I think I'm talking attack, you know?
Gotcha.
Like, you know, and what was that line in music is my attitude, and something is my attack. My attitude is my attack. You know, but I just think, like, I personally, I mean, I don't know what Rachel, you know, because it still comes down to what song sounds good or what doesn't. But I,
right.
you know, and I've been trying to like have, because I always want to do other stuff, you know. I've been trying to do it with a couple other girls, but you know, people are, you know, the COVID thing and I don't know. I mean, I didn't think I was that productive, but I make people look like they make me look like I'm like a workaholic, you know. but I'm not. I mean, like, I just, you know, but I think, you know what I think? I think like a lot of young people, I mean, I'm older, but I mean, like, you know, people that are around that are willing to play, they all got to work two jobs, but they never can rehearse. Because even
yeah.
though they say the economy is good, most of them are working two jobs, two or three jobs. One of them work here, they go DJ there, and they, you know what I mean? Just to make ends meet.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't, I mean, when we were coming up, we all had a job, but we just had one job, you know? And
yeah.
the other job was drinking, and the third job was collecting shit to put on the wall so you could soundproof your fucking house.
Hell yeah.
You know, I mean, seriously, that was what you did. You know, when you weren't drinking and exchanging records, you were finding soundproof equipment to put on your wall so the neighbors wouldn't fucking yell at you, and then you went to your job. But I think younger people today, I mean, I feel for them because they have like two or three jobs, all of them, you know.
Now, do you think that's the detriment behind rock and roll now, is like people not having that ability to do what we
yeah,
once did?
I think so. I think, I mean, I know like a couple of young kid bands, like they're you know, their high school is going into college, and they seem to have like one of them is a little blues act, and they're little white kids, so blues act, and they have more of a punch, you know, but you know, I mean, and so they're all they got to do is go to school and play, but I think that's not the way it was for us. I mean, most of us were just living on our own, you know,
yeah.
nobody went to college, you know what I mean. It was just, you just go out there and make some music, you know, and you make it hard. And, but yeah, I want to hear tones. I want to hear tones. And I want to, you know, I'm tired of soft.
Are you familiar at all with the band In This Moment?
In This Moment? No. Tell me
yeah.
more.
Female fronted, heavy, but not too heavy, and I just think it's amazing. It's a newer, when I say newer, I want to say within the past 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you would dig it entirely. I think it's something
I'll
that you can check
it out
totally.
I'll sit the phone with you. Yeah, I definitely will.
And it's a little bit heavy. I saw them in concert, and they have a little bit of a theatrical element to them, almost like an Alice Cooper-ish style
right,
stage
right,
present,
right.
But
you know, the thing for me, for most any bands, I mean, bands got to understand something. And I'm not saying that this applies strictly, but bands got to understand some things. One of them is like, there is an order. One of them is vocals come first. I don't care what you think, vocals come first. If you can't sing, do not go forward. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you don't have to be a great singer. You just got to have a style and know your limitations. You know, you have to come across. I you know, I don't ever go see a band because it's singers, and actually I have, but, you know, you don't just say, boy, the singer's not so great, but the drummer and the bass player, man, they're awesome. And, you know, you got to have the singer comes first, drummer comes second, okay? If you don't have those two things, your ability to sustain is going to wane, you know, because the drums move the people, the beat, whatever, even if it's rock, even if it's soft. But the vocals are the voice, you know. I'm not saying you gotta sing really good, but you gotta have a style. You gotta get across. Yeah. I mean, hey, look at Dylan, right? Dylan wasn't what I call a great singer, but he did get it across, right? I mean,
that's right.
You know, and so you gotta. I mean, I know a lot of people that are not great singers, but they have a style, and they come across. And you got to have a good drummer. And then, you know, everything else is a plus, you know. Good guitar player, awesome. Good lead player, great, you know. And, you know, and that's another thing, man. Don't think that bass and rhythm playing does not matter.
That's
you
right.
Know? Very important. Your rhythm player is probably a little more important than your lead player. You know, lead playing is good when you hear it, you know. But if you don't have a good rhythm player, you know what I'm saying? You got to have a good rhythm, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong. Joe Balasamo, or whatever that motherfucker's name is, you know, stupid music. I'm sure people will be upset that I said that, but, you know, I seen that shit live. Shut the fuck up, dude, you know. I think that you have to have a singer. And by singer, I don't mean they have to be, like, on The Voice or anything like that. I mean, they gotta have an attitude, and they gotta have a style, and they have to have a way to get it across, you know.
I agree with you 100%, and I think it's an art form that seems to have gone away for a little bit, but I think it's coming back.
Yeah. I mean, I love that in the '60s there was like a plethora of 16-year-old white boys that could sing. I mean, from Bob Seger to Scott Morgan just go down the line, you know. The guy from Grand Funk, I mean, they were just like 16-year-olds were just going crazy, you know. I mean, all white kids who had a lot of soul in their voice, you know.
Man, it's – so as far as what's next for Detroit Cobras, I got to wrap things up because we're losing time. But as far as what's next for Detroit Cobras, what do you see coming down the pike for you guys? What do you guys have planned? Anything?
Well, we got tours that we got to make up, and I wanna do more recording. But like I said, I wanna get into tones and stuff. So why you know, I wanna turn my own stuff on. So that's what's next for the Detroit Cobras. They have to turn Mary on, and if not, it's done. And it's done. I'm all going to stay home and cook vegan chili.
Hell yeah. Man, well, Mary, thank you so much for being with us tonight. And please, if there's any Detroit Cobra stuff popping, please drop it on our Facebook page, the Rock and Roll Union. And it has been a blast, man. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for asking, okay? Seriously.
And have a great rest of your weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, guys, that was Mary from the Detroit Cobras. Man, really, really happy to speak with her. What a lot of good stuff that was. And remember, if you guys ever miss a live broadcast, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Look up VOC Nation, scroll through a little bit. You'll find the Rock and Roll Union. We're not hard to find. And, guys, it has been my pleasure to bring you guys here tonight, talk a little bit next week, looking a little bit forward to next week. We're going to be bringing back another roundtable. We're going to be talking gear for all you gearheads. We're going to be talking amps, equipment, synthesizers, that kind of thing. We're going to be talking about that. And we're going to be joined by Scott Kirby, who's going to have a live acoustic performance for us, guys. Really looking forward to that. But until next time, do me a favor. Be kind to one another. Love one another. Make the world the place you want it to be. And remember, rock and roll. Have a good week, guys.